we pretty much today, we will be doing 100K on the treadmill, each of us in our own gyms, but videoing each other to get this done.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what's wrong with me. We'll see. This virtual running stuff is going to kill me. That will be the end of me.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome to Trail Talk. This is the Ultramarathon Mindset. I am Eric Dieter. This is my page, the Ultramarathon Mindset, where we talk about uniting your body and your mind for ultimate performance, for peak performance and ultimate health. Today, I have a guest that I've been looking forward to this conversation for ever since she agreed to come on. Cindy Rickoff is, and I hope
that's perfect.
Right? Okay. Cindy Rickoff, I heard about her from Catherine Ivey and at the Outlaw 100, and then I friended her on Facebook and saw her she kept popping up, and I was just, she's got a great, it's just popping up on my feed, and the things that she posted, I said, I have got to get to know this lady. And so I was hoping to be able to run a trail with her and get to know her personally, but I said, no, this is going to be, have to do it through Trail Talk. And
ran together. We just haven't run together.
We haven't run together. Yeah. We ran the same course. Yeah.
Right.
so yeah. Welcome, Cindy, to Trail Talk. I'm looking forward to this. What I always do is, you know, this is like I, you know, so I said this, have said this before. The idea is that this is like going out onto the trail and running with somebody, whether you know them or not, wherever the conversation goes, even if you know the person you go run with, what comes up on the trail oftentimes is things that you would never tell anybody else. And I've told things.
Have you seen how I post everything
out there? I know. And so trail runners say, you know, what's said on the trail stays on the trail. And some people have told me some very personal information that I don't even mention it to them. I mean, we had that conversation. I know that about them, but it's like, it's one of those things like, yeah, it's very personal, but it's pretty much wide open. And if you've seen these trail talks in the past, you know, we're kind of fair game for anything that anybody wants to say. So, except it is Facebook. So they do filter the language. So
gotcha. Good thing you were here earlier. I had to help the husband move the combine and there was maybe some words in there.
Well, that's kind of understandable. Yeah. Some people, it's part of their normal vocabulary. I never learned to speak that way. So it's not hard for me to filter out, but yes, if you get the right situation, you never know what
you work. You work on 24/7 with your husband. You're on a farm. You have cattle. You have livestock. You have equipment that breaks down. You learn languages you didn't know you knew.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. My father-in-law used to say that. I have to learn a whole new vocabulary to be able to do this project. So, anyway, welcome. Welcome, Cindy. I wanted to say thank you. I would like to give you a chance to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit okay. About who you are and how you got started in running.
I'm Cindy Rickoff. I am 52 now. Grew up with a dad who was an Air Force military man. I was born in Germany, and we traveled around mostly when I was too little to remember, which is kind of sad. But we've been all over the United States. And then we came back when he retired. We came back to both families had been on the farm, and we came back to a farm setting, had horses, did all kinds of horse stuff, rodeoed, met my husband. We were team roping together. Again, there is a place where you learn choice words. Did that, got married, had kids. We were still rodeoing until the kids got too busy and the farm life. So we kind of settled into raising our kids and doing everything with the cattle and the crops and all that sort of thing here. I never was a runner. I always was horses. And let me tell you what, people talk about running, you know, it's supposed to be the free sport. And then everybody says how expensive it gets. mm-hmm. with equipment and stuff. They know nothing.
Oh yes, we had a horse for a while.
You're the horses, you have cattle fees, and this is cheap. My husband mm-hmm. loves this because it's cheap. But we raised the kids, and we're still doing stuff. And as you get older, as a woman, your body starts saying, you know, I'm going to put some fat here and some fat there, and I'm going to make this change, and I'm going to make you slow down. And at about 47, I decided I didn't like what was happening. And I wasn't as balanced doing the stuff with the horses. So I said, I've got to start walking. Went down the road. I have a 1/2 mile driveway. That's just my driveway to the gravel roads.
Okay.
So I started doing the driveway, walking it. And then when you get to the end of my driveway on the gravel road, you can go right and go up this huge hill. So up the huge hill, I went, started walking that. That was killer. That I didn't know that I'd ever do anything well up the hill. But when you turn around, you're coming downhill. And one day it just popped in my head, maybe 2 months in, I'm just going to try running this. We're going to see. Started jogging down mm-hmm. the hill. And then it just got to where I started talking to some friends that were actually runners that we hadn't really had that conversation with before. Amazingly, runners who didn't talk only about running. Pretty awesome.
they're out there, huh?
There are some out there. But I started talking to these ladies. One lady, quite a bit younger than me, she was my vet's wife, Elizabeth Houtsma, exceptional lady. She is really the whole reason I got into this running. She encouraged, she mentored, she was huge. She is so fast. She is such a great runner, but she still had time for me. And I try to carry that on because that mentoring meant so much. Mm-hmm. So I started running and she started encouraging me and helping me learn what I needed. She was a road runner. So of course, okay. Road before I went to. So I got into doing 5Ks and then she encouraged me to build up to 10K. And then we both saw this trail race. Neither one of us had trail raced before. We said, hey, you want to try this? Happened to be Cycle Waco up in the city, in Kansas City. Ben Holmes, Cycle Waco.
Yes, right in my backyard. Yeah.
Right. So we went up there and we did this 10-mile trail race. Fell in love. That was it. I didn't mm-hmm. want to see another road. I still had the next year. I had my first half marathon scheduled. And I went and I ran it on the roads. It was the Independence Half Marathon, the first year they had it. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, but it wasn't my trails because I had gone to just doing trails. And it just kept morphing from there. I found the trail and ultra running webpage. I found the ladies trail pages and it just grew. Running feeds my soul and mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoy it. So that's how I came to be.
Okay. Okay. So you said the Cycle Waco was your first trail race. What year was that?
Oh gosh, 2015, I believe. 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I've done it every year since.
Was it the winter one or the summer one?
It was the winter.
The winter. Yeah.
It was the winter.
Okay.
I did the summer 1 year, and I said I will volunteer the summer from now on. It's too hot.
It is very hot. Yeah, and well, it kind of depends. It kind of depends on the year.
Right.
Yeah, that was my first ultra marathon. Was the Cycle Waco.
Gotcha. So, excuse the dog.
Oh yeah. Is that Miles or is that?
No, that is actually Vader. That is the guard dog, the farm.
The guard dog. Okay. Okay.
He thinks somebody's coming around.
So you started trail running and then, and so you said you did 10 miles. Then did you go and then like, it seems like that's kind of the start. Everyone starts with like
the one distance drug.
And the gateway drug.
Yeah.
So then did you go and how did you start increasing your distance to do more?
I met people through that trail run and mm-hmm. started reaching out and visiting with them. And they'd talk about this 25K or this 50K and this 100K. And at that time, or this 100 miler. And at that time, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll just go have fun. I'm good with 10. But then you hear about this really cool race in a really cool area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look at it and I would think that might be fun. And so I moved up to the 25K. The next from the 10 mile was the 25K.
Uh-huh.
I skipped the half marathon. There's not a lot of half marathons on trails. It kind of goes 10 mile to 25K, it seems right. like. And I did that. And then I met more people. So it just kept morphing that way, just meeting more people. And then people would say, you need to come run this trail. This sounds really cool. And then they do you don't need to train for a 50K. Just go run.
I never heard anybody say that. I've heard it since then, but nobody ever told me that.
I have had that said to me, and unfortunately, there's times I listen to it. I get through. I'm not speedy. I'm not looking to set a record. My goal out there is really the joy of the run, the experience, the journey. Mm-hmm. So it's been fine every time it's worked. My jump from the 10 was from the 10 mile. I did do a 25K. I did a 7K. I kind of alternated with the smaller miles. And then someone said, you need to go ahead and get your feet wet with a marathon. The Berryman Marathon is wonderful. And that's down in the Ozarks, down by Potosi, Missouri.
Okay.
And the Slugs put that on, the St. Louis Ultra Runners. So I called and talked to the RDs, and I said, and at this point I had miles, because I enjoyed having, there was something missing when I was running. I was great, but I'm not here alone. I am 30 miles from the nearest town, and most running groups are up in Kansas City, which is about 70 miles from me.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that group, that chance to get out with a bunch of people. And I wanted someone. Love animals. Always had dogs growing up. Had dogs. Then it morphed to we had kids, so we had dogs that the kids were involved with. And I thought, right, it's time for me to get my dog. Went to the Joplin shelter. I've been looking for something. I knew I didn't want a puppy. I wanted a dog that can run. Miles just happened to be found for me, more or less found for me at the Joplin shelter. And I adopted him from the Joplin shelter at a year and a half. And we started running. And so I called the Berryman people and I said, I have a dog. Can I run your race with a dog? And they said, yes. And we've gone on from there.
Uh-huh. So how long has Miles been with you?
He has been with me. God, I have to go back and look. So since 2017?
2017.
Since about May of 2017.
So as I see people who run with dogs, what are some of the things that you have to watch? I mean, besides the races that will allow them, I mean, what are some of the things that you have to think of as far as running with dogs?
Number one is your commitment to the dog. It's not my race. Once I take him with me, it's not my race anymore because he can't tell me no. So everything I do, I'm watching him. Is he having a problem? Is he enjoying it? Is he doing okay? I have dropped twice now from races because he wasn't handling it well.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid for the race. I trained for the race. He trained with me, but if he's not handling it, I have no business asking him to do it. So that's number one. Number one is the race becomes his. Any race we do from that point forward that I ask him to do with me is his race, and it's about him.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, he's dragging me through the entire race. There's no slow to Miles.
Right.
He has a butt like nobody's business because he is hauling me all over the place through this race. That's number one. Number two is make sure you make your vet appointments, get your vaccinations, get the needed, you know, let the vet be looking at them every year, checking them out, checking the heart rate out, just keeping contact so that they can say, my vets will all constantly tell me, he's more than we know how to take care of, as far as you can't come to us and say, do you think I'm pushing him too far? All we can tell you is he looks really good because nobody runs 100K with the dogs.
Right.
Yeah, but they're really good on making sure everything about him. So the commitment to the dog, making sure you keep the vet appointments, making sure the vet gets eyes on him and says, hey, they're doing good. Everything looks good. And then I study diet hugely. Diet's a huge issue for us. We feed mostly raw, which we butcher our own cattle. So I have a good supply of raw feed. We have chickens. I have wild meat I can get a hold of. So his diet is mostly raw. Did a lot of learning on how to do that for his best physical health. And then make sure just water. You've got to have water in places for them to cool down. If it's too hot, it is too hot for them long before it's too hot for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to focus on that aspect of it. And so I pick races that there's water available while we're running on the course, that he can go jump in. If it's warmer, he's got to be able to immerse in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I taught him as soon as he jumps in, he has to lay down. That's just something he's learned. He does get the lepto shot so that he can have, drink water from ponds and creeks. Because that's something that can be carried in ponds and creeks. And we're on the farm, so he needs it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the race becomes miles. That's what it amounts to.
Yeah. But I can hear there's to be some runners who would say, oh my goodness, I don't know that I want to, I don't know that make that kind of sacrifice.
That's great. I tell you, if some people just want to run with a dog for fun, you know, take him on like your cool down. If you come home and you do a cool down, or if you just want to do a 5 mile with your dog, or you just, that's all great. Most dogs, unless they're in the house all day long, if they're getting out, getting exercise, doing stuff, 5 miles is nothing to a dog.
Right.
Most dogs, 5 miles, they can just trot it out. And they can be your companion for part of it. For me, I have someone to go with me every time I run. I take off for a trail and who knows where that I've never been on before, and Miles is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's worth it. The other commitment is worth it for me for Miles.
Right. Yeah. And that's, and I know the people who are dog people, you know, they love dogs, and you know, they run, and I've run with people who have their dogs, and it is nice to have that companionship.
It is.
My daughter had, she was living with us with her grandkids, with our grandkids, and the grandkids wanted a dog, and she got a dog. And I was thinking, oh well, you know, maybe you could run with me. Yeah, the dog went on the trail with me for 1 mile, then sat down and was like, I'm done.
The dog that was barking earlier.
Yeah,
that's Vader. He's a yard dog. I tried to get him to run with me. He's a giant schnauzer, fit, good shape, half a mile, and that was it. He was done, sat, finished. You couldn't budge him for nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah, so that's why I do advocate a lot is the shelter dogs, the older ones, you want to get over a year old. Their personalities are established. You can go in, most shelters will let you run with them around the property or different, so you can see if they have a feel for it.
Right, right. Yeah, because some dogs, they don't. And it's just
not their thing.
Kind of like people.
Exactly.
there's a lot of people. It's like, yeah, running's not my thing.
Yeah.
So then you started running longer races. When did you break into the ultra marathons?
I had, again, with the meeting people, I had talked to some people in Illinois, Christian Street, who did the Evergreen Lakes Ultra. They used to put it on. It's not anymore. It was a 50K and a 25K. They also used to have a 100K. I don't know if you know 10 Junk Miles podcast, the folks,
yes.
Holly. You know Holly?
I've heard, and I don't, yeah, I've heard.
I met Holly at that race. That was her first 100K when did my first 50K. But anyway, I heard about this race, and I thought, it's nice. It's not hugely hilly. It was dirt, but it was Illinois. It wasn't super hilly there. Around a lake, perfect for miles. We were a lake the whole way. You could jump in anytime you wanted to. Super friendly people, and so I signed up for that 50K. And I just decided going for it. That was in 2017.
Okay.
And that was, trying to remember what month that was. I believe that was September of 2017.
Okay.
Yes, 2017. And so got in my Jeep, drove, it was like 8 hours the day before. And that time I got a hotel because I didn't have my camper.
Uh-huh.
And got up the next morning and went out, and Miles and I ran. Christian happens to be a vet. So she said, she was all for Miles running if he was fit. So she looked at him. She kept track of the whole thing. He did great. The volunteers were awesome. Ran the 50K there. It was two loops, 15 miles, 15 plus some mileage. Got blisters for the first time. That was my first experience with blisters on my feet. By the second loop, about halfway through, I started doing that. Thank goodness I'd read about it. I'm over this. Don't want to do it anymore. This hurts. And everybody said, you just got to ignore it. And so I ignored it. And I knew when they popped. I could tell when the blisters popped as I was running. But I finished that race, and the feeling was just awesome. I'd done the Berryman Marathon. And it was actually long. It was 28 miles. So I thought, 50K. Excuse me, a 50K is just three more miles.
Right.
You know how we do that?
Just three more miles, yeah.
So we did it. It's an incredible 3 miles. And thank goodness it was just 31. And thank goodness it was an ish race.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran that, and that was an amazing feeling. Driving home sucked. But because I have a Jeep, it has a clutch.
Mm-hmm.
So my blisters, every time I had to clutch, I felt those blisters all the way home.
Yeah.
And it just, it felt good. And I was out on the trail. That was also the first time I made the mistake of pulling off the trail to go to the bathroom and not realizing there was a guy behind me as I was moving him.
Here we go.
Back? Do I have sound?
Yes. Yes.
Sorry about
got
that.
Got sound. So I'm guessing that it was the internet connection and not the microphone.
I'm not on internet. I'm actually on the I'm on my phone system on the towers because our internet is rural and stinks.
Right. Okay.
So it probably the tower did a bloop.
Yeah, the tower. Yeah, the cell phone dropped. So that's okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's good to know, because if it happens again, then we'll know how to handle it. But,
there you go. I didn't just hang up on you.
That's good. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
About the 50K, but it
about
was
the 50K,
great.
Yes.
It was
humiliating
and embarrassing in some places, but it was great otherwise. I mean, it was, even through all that, everything about it was wonderful. The experience of people, the aid stations.
Uh-huh.
The aid stations brought me in full time because they put on a full spread aid station. And at that point, I'm like, I'm just going to run and eat and eat and eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember the Pumpkin Holler, they had the waffle stop in the morning. And
that sounds awesome.
It was but there were like a group of us who ran Pumpkin Holler that they offered an early start because and I looked at it and I was like, I need the extra 2 hours. And I so when I got to the waffle stop, it's like they didn't have anything. They were still cooking.
That's like, really disappointing. I was and come back.
I was, well, it was the waffle stop was on an out and back because they had I think a 30-mile loop. That's but then the first loop you do, there's an out and back. Well, it's you go into the loop and then back out. So it's 5 miles each way. So it adds 10. So when I got back, the waffles. They had waffles, but
that's
but perfect. You know, I was ready for it when I was there the first time.
I know. That's a heartbreaker.
But yes, yeah, the food at aid stations is really, really,
it's amazing. Really, and good. 90% of that after working aid stations and working races is the people, the volunteers. They bring in stuff that they know runners like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge about this trail community is the volunteers care just as much about as you do about helping you finish your race.
Mm-hmm.
They are as invested in you finishing as you are. And they go above and beyond to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that I've found that to be an amazing thing about trail runners. And I don't know that much about road running because I ran one marathon when that was a long time ago. But what I remember that back then is the aid stations were not nearly like what the trail people put on.
I've noticed, and I don't run, like I said, I quit roads at the point I got, by the time I did Berryman, I wasn't hitting any more roads at all. By the time I did Psycho, I had my half to do. So I did that on the roads. The road ultras and the track ultras are just like our trail ultras.
Okay.
They are as invested in the runners and the food as we are for the trail. So that's one thing. The more I've learned, the more I realize I think it's more of an ultra mindset.
Ultra running community is, yeah.
Yeah.
A little more.
Exactly.
Yeah. The marathon, you're on your own. Yeah. That's.
I cannot, the texture, goos and GUs or whatever I call them, and gels and that stuff, the texture is hard for me, but mm-hmm. just like a pizza in my hand or a grilled cheese, I'm good to go.
Yeah. So you ran your first 50K, and now you were working on a longer run than that.
I did a 50K on a real trail. I did a 50K at the Kansas Rails to Trails, and I love Carolyn and the Timer Guys people, but that flat destroys my legs. I can't handle that much chat and flat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one that I will now go back and work. But I did my second 50K there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, after talking to some more of those trail people that tell you you don't really need to train for stuff. I mean, if you set your mind to it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They convinced me that I was okay to do a 50 miler. I could do it. Searched around and started putting the word out there. I have a dog. I'd like to do a 50 miler. I'd like to do a destination 50 miler. Is there any RDs who are open to that? And Wanderlee Reese from Utah, who is a runner, and he knew one of the RDs that was in Utah that does a buffalo run, and he got a hold of him. He contacted me. He said, bring your dog and come. This is on Antelope Island, just outside of Salt Lake City. There's a couple mountains, not 10,000 foot mountains,
okay.
But mm-hmm. you know, 5 and 7, which mm-hmm. Flatland, Missouri, that's pretty impressive.
That is, yeah.
So I thought, why not? He said you could have an early start. He allows, it takes me out of the age group awards, but that's not where I'm at anyway. That seldom happens, and that's not my issue. I just want to run.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run and finish. So I talked to my husband. I had told my kids and my family, if I ever did a marathon, I would do it in Greece because there was no way I was going to ever do a marathon. I broke that and went to the Ozarks, went to Berryman, Missouri to do, that's a long way from Greece. So I said, okay, I'm doing this 50 miler. I don't know if I'll ever go further. I'm going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, I was 2 years old when we lived in Utah. My brother was born in Utah. And so all this came together and he was born in Ogden and I wanted to go out there. So I signed up for it, trained through the winter for it. ran extra miles at Psycho. So, because that was good training, because it was in March of 2018 that I did that. And
that was a wet year too.
That was a mud year.
And I was volunteering there.
And I didn't do the full 20 because I was afraid. This is February. My 50 was in March. If I twisted, broke something, that would be horrible. I would hate that. So anyway, March came. I planned about a week. I was going to drive out 3 days early and then run the race and stay another day, full day and sleep, and then come home, drive straight home. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, I'm going out 3 days early. I'm going to go through. And I've been all over. But we lived in Arizona when I was younger. We never got to the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
We were in Southern Arizona. I thought, I want to see some of Northern Arizona. There were some people that had talked about Buckskin Gulch outside of Kanab, Utah, which is the very southern part of Utah. And it's a slot canyon. It's like Antelope Canyon, but it's Buckskin Gulch. And I knew Miles couldn't go to Antelope, and I don't like the big touristy places, and this wasn't touristy. So I said, I'm going to time it so I can do that. So I went down there before my race, 2 days before, and Miles and I went, and we explored the slot canyon, did about 5 miles, but it was great. It was beautiful, 100% worth it. Come out, drove up, went through to southern Kansas, southern Colorado, into northern Arizona, up to southern Utah, and then all the way up to Salt Lake City. Got there the day before. That morning, it was rainy and nasty, and we thought, oh, this is going to be awful. But they kept saying, this is going to blow out. Surely it's going to blow out. Got to the island. It blew out before we started. No more rain, no more nasty. They have good sandy soil, so all that rain, it wasn't muddy. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Ran the 50 there, climbed the mountains. I had friends at Wanderley, who I never met in person, just knew from the forums, came out at, and he's a local that's well known. He Elephant Ears Ultra. It's in Utah. I believe he's the RD, one of the RDs for that. But he came out after midnight to an aid station just as I was coming in to make sure my spirits were up and I was doing good. Friendship made forever from that.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
This guy had no reason to have to do this, but he came out. That's a big heart right there. So ran that race. The aids were great. Utah was beautiful. I climbed freaking mountains, switched back up this one mountain that took forever. Thank God it was in the first 20 miles of the race. So the last 30 miles was hills, some pretty big hills, but no mountains.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That helped. Took the early start, still finished 50 miles in just under 17 hours. Felt really good about that. Best time ever. After I finished, went to the hotel. There was 100 miles going on at the same time. Two of the 100 mile people passed me at the end. And I'm like, not crazy. I got lost towards the end because I didn't see a marking that was obviously there. It was obvious. It was just my stoop. Climbed up this huge hill for a mile and a half. Realized there's no way this is right. Went back down. So I ended up doing 51.5 miles. It's okay. It was great.
A lot of people do bonus miles when you're on a course.
Soaked in, went to the hotel, cleaned up, slept for maybe 2 hours, thought, I could still move. I was moving, thought, I want to go back out and visit with people I didn't get to see. Drove back out, volunteered at the finish line for probably 4 hours, had the best time.
Oh, yeah.
Best time. And I was able to drive home and wasn't totally stiff because I got up and moved right after. I learned something right there.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
That's really important. But it's always that feeling of community. The people make these trail races. Honest to goodness, the people you meet, the people that care, the people that do that little bit extra, that's huge.
Yes. Yeah. So at what point, I mean, you mentioned you were in a hotel, your first 50 miles. At what point did you get your trailer?
Last year. I'd done the 50 miler, then I went ahead and did a couple hundred milers with some shorter distances. Meanwhile, wrapped up in there through the 100 milers were, first one was rails to trail and awful.
You did a 50 mile rail to trail, then you went back for a 100 mile rail to trail?
Went back for 100. Awful. Because
why?
Awful.
Why would
same
you
one. Same one. It was the Kansas rail to trail because Kansas I love the I love the Tyra guys. Mm-hmm. I love the people, but awful and only awful because my body can't handle that flat. It is a beautiful people that can handle the flat. It is a beautiful place to set PRs, to do your first. It's great, but it doesn't work for me.
I ran into the same thing at the Pumpkin Holler.
Oh yeah. It's gravel roads.
It's gravel roads. And it really beat me up. I mean, give me rocks and roots and, you know, ups and downs and
my back. and the backs of my knees die on the flats.
Mm-hmm.
That's for some reason, the back of my knees and my back, that's, and I know it's part of its posture. Part of it's how I land so hard on the flat. Eventually you get tired and mm-hmm. you're not having to watch your feet and you're just pounding.
Your form breaks down. Yeah,
it does. And that's what does it to me. And I did my second 100K last year at Temptation 200 in Illinois as an inaugural race. I have a love for inaugural races. I like the old races, but I also love when you hear good things about an RD, I love mm-hmm. to go try inaugural races. Mm-hmm. Outlaw 100, Temptation. I've done a bunch of, but anyway, went to the Temptation and it's Temptation 200, it's 200K, but you can stop at 200K. Then you're done. You win. Stop at 150 or stop at 100. If you stop and decide not to go on, they buckle you for those distances. If you go on and don't make it to the next distance, it's a DNF.
It's a DNF. Yes.
It's a DNF.
Yeah.
So you have to, it's that Temptation.
That's a good, when you said Temptation, it didn't register. Yeah. I can see that.
Greg and Dexter are the most amazing RDs. They RD that race and they are freaking amazing. I'm back this year. I signed right back up for this year, even though the sand traumatized me. They have what they call sand traps. They don't have a lot of hills. There's some hills, but it's not really hilly. But they have these hills that are sand traps, and it's beach sand.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Beach sand. And you have to learn. You can't get off on the sides because there's cactus on the sides. So you have to walk right down the sand. And you learn. You eventually learn how to not push off. You can't push off
on the sand. Yes.
And once you get that down, it is the most comfortable my feet and my legs have ever been. There was no pounding, no stress on those, mm-hmm. No issues, except for I did not have the right gaiters and shoes, and I did get a couple of really good blisters because of the sand. Mm-hmm. This year, I bought desert gaiters.
Okay, yeah.
I'm all in the guys who ran with desert gaiters had no sand issues. So I did that 100K. In between that, I had been having issues with iron. And ended up having to, I was having real troubles in races. Flirted with Ribo once. It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Got really close to the doctor. It turns out I had serious iron issues. Took out all that inner plumbing. Got rid of it. Iron's great. Everything's where it should be mm-hmm. now. That second 100K felt so much better. And then I've not signed up for 100 yet. I'm looking at it. But yeah, recently, just this last 2 weeks, actually since March, April, I have tried three times to finish 100K.
Okay.
A virtual 100K.
A virtual 100K, yes.
Has not happened. Did a 50K. A week ago, I did 48 miles. And Monday, I did 48 miles again. I swore that was it. I swore that was the last time. It's too hot. The mm-hmm. first time we started, we tried to do it on my gravel roads. And while I have hills, we did a little bit. There's a rails to trail that runs right by my house. And so we did a little bit of it on the rails to trail. It's too much. Mm-hmm. Got to 50K. We were hurting. We're like, this is a virtual. Nah. A friend of Kyla Mahoney, real good friend of mine, her husband's deployed right now. I call her and say, hey, you wanna? And she says, why not? So we've been trying to do this together. Meanwhile, we dragged another person in, Stephanie Lane from Southwest Missouri. So the last two attempts have been with Stephanie Lane. We got 50K, didn't happen. 2 weeks ago, we got 48 miles. A week ago, we got 48 miles, and the heat got to us. By the time we got to the next day, we were up to 90 degrees. And between me and Miles, it wasn't happening. It was, and then Monday, Tuesday, we picked a day. Stephanie and I decided we had to try this one more time. We picked a 3-mile trail. The other trail was 9 miles. So it was 9 miles till we hit an aid station, till we could get ice and things. So that didn't help. This one was a 3-mile loop. Unfortunately, I forgot this was a chat loop. It's hills. It's in the woods, but they've made it ADA accessible. So it's like a chat loop.
Okay.
So it's flat the whole way. Plus, we thought we picked a weekend when the highest was going to be 77 Fahrenheit. And it was supposed to be lower humidity.
Mm-hmm.
After the storm front blew through, the storm front did a circle around us. And between Stephanie getting into a patch of poison ivy or poison sumac, or poison oak or poison sumac that blistered the heck out of her ankles, and it getting hot, when she had to stop because of the blisters, my mental place went, I don't need to do this alone. Yeah. And Miles had gone down to the river to get a drink and come back up and been limping. So I benched him. As soon as he limped, I said, you're done. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that encouragement. It was just me out there walking alone at that point. And I said, I don't need it that bad. I'm done. I've done 100Ks. I'm okay. I put up a post about that today. Did you see that?
I saw the post. Yeah.
And then I had a friend, had a really good friend who said, you sure you don't have one more try in you? And I'm like, oh, gosh. So Stephanie and Kylie and I got to talking, and I'm not a treadmill runner.
Oh.
I run maybe 30 miles on the treadmill ever in my entire life. Not at once. Cumulative. Maybe 30 miles. The only way, it has to be done by August 1st.
Okay.
I think we pretty much today, we will be doing 100K on the treadmill, each of us in our own gyms, but videoing each other to get this done.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. This virtual running stuff is going to kill me. That will be the end of me.
Troy Pruitt says, yes, she's got one more.
he's really evil. He really is. Peer pressure is a bad thing.
Yeah. He also said we need have waffles for your next hundo. So
well, here's the deal. He pushed me into this again. I want to get this finished. But I'm crewing him at the Ozark Trail 100. He's doing his 100 there at the Ozark Trail.
Oh, okay.
He needs to remember, I'm crewing him.
Yeah.
Paybacks are, you know what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming. He's wonderful. I love Troy. He is great. He is going to do great things.
Yeah, that's good. So anyway, I wanted to ask you about your trailer.
Yes.
You had
a part of that, and then I went down the rabbit hole.
Oh, well, no, that's good. I mean, that was a great story. Well, and the other thing, before you do that, let me.
Sure.
You really are going to do this on a treadmill? I mean, that.
I'll have air.
I think I would take the heat.
My trainer will be there. Or my trainer will be there. This is the gym. I have the strength training gym. My trainer will be there. I figure she'll be my boot camp director. I mean, she's going to have to step in and push me when I start doing the, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to,
There was a last man standing virtual race done in April. I can't remember what it was, but it was,
I saw that.
And it was, they broadcast it on YouTube Live. And
we're not broadcasting live because they have rules about language, and my language tends to devolve.
When you're out on the trail. Yeah. Well, YouTube has you have to say there's no kids allowed.
Gotcha. I think we'll keep it peanuts for right now. But,
I watched some of that, and there were people who, I mean, they had to do it. It was a Zoom thing. They had to put the camera at their front door, and basically that was their check-in.
Right.
Or they had the camera on them on the treadmill. And I saw these people running on treadmills, and it was like they'd gone 100 miles and for 24 hours, and they were still going.
I know.
And I went, what kind of a mental thing
it
is that?
It's a mental issue. It seriously is a mental issue.
I am the mindset guy. I coach people on mindset, and I look at that and go, they are way beyond me, because I could not do that.
There is nothing in me that thinks this is a good idea. Absolutely nothing. And I think that's the attraction. That's solely the attraction. All right. I don't think this is a good idea. My head's going to tell me just stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to prove I'm stronger than my head. I mean, okay. I guess it's just, there's something inside me that's got to go, no, you're more stubborn than that. You're more difficult than that.
So can you run on a treadmill? I mean, are you able to actually?
Okay. I can. I just hate it. It's mindless and mind numbing and soul destroying. Yeah. But Miles won't be there. But like I said, he's got a bit of a messed up paw, so he needs a break.
Okay.
I've not gone that far without Miles.
You're not really going anywhere. So,
no.
So it's, you'll just be.
Stephanie and Kyla, really, anytime we've done this, this would have been the first 100. And they really want 100. So there's a very strong pull in me that if there's anything I can do to help them get their 100, I'm there.
100K,
so
right?
Why not? Yeah, 100K. Yeah, 100K. So why not? I mean, the worst it's going to do to me is I'm going to hate myself in the morning.
We had a treadmill at one time and ended up selling it. This is back before I was a runner. We sold it. And I never was able to really, I never really tried to run on it. It was just basically for walking. But I went to the running store and they fitted me the shoes. And it's like, you know, we'll try them out. Look at your gait. But they put me on the treadmill. I had to hold on. I had to hold on to the rails.
I can run as long as I don't look down. The minute I look down, I'm going off the back of the treadmill. Okay. I mean, like a treadmill. If I look up, I'm going down. This is just the opposite.
That's funny. Yeah. So that was my one attempt at trying running on the treadmill was at the running store. And I'm like, how do people do this? I just couldn't get the hang of it. And it just, the whole idea seems awful.
The scary part of my brain is once I do this, that excuse is now gone. When I say, it's horrible outside, there's a tornado and I can't run on a treadmill. Now I've lost that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've done 100K. I mean, so it's not like you just.
Yeah, exactly. About my Taylor, Temptation 200 last year, finished. Okay. I had a hammock. I slept in it the night before in the hammock, got ready to crawl in the hammock, and it started pouring rain. Mm-hmm. Couldn't go in my hammock because it wasn't under 10. It was just between two trees. I have a Jeep Wrangler. That's my Jeep Wrangler. Okay. I curled up in my Jeep Wrangler in the back, mm-hmm. which has the seat is out, but the buckle is still in there, all the little prongs for attaching stuff. I tried to sleep in the back of my Jeep Wrangler. I said, never again will I do that. Never. Mm-hmm. I said, let's look at a teardrop trailer. So I went and looked and saw the prices. And I said, that's crazy. I mean, I might as well get an RV, but I don't want to drive an RV around. I want my Jeep. Mm-hmm. I can build one of those. My dad had left me. My dad's passed away over 10 years ago. He left me his motorcycle trailer. And most teardrops start out, the littler ones are 4x8. Mm-hmm. The trailer was 4x8. I said, that's it. And I got to looking at plans. I got the supplies I needed and I started building it. And I think it was 2.5 months. I wanted that trailer for races. Mm-hmm. I had Flat Rock in between Temptation and my trailer being done. I had Flat Rock. So I had to go to Flat Rock without my trailer, but that's not quite as far away. So I didn't have to sleep in my camper. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to sleep in my Jeep. But I got it done, and by the time I went to, there's a race in Tennessee. I have a daughter that lives in Memphis. I have a friend that I run with when I'm down there. Sherry, she's wonderful, said there's this walking tall race in Tennessee. Big Hill Pond walking tall, and you got to come run it. So she took me on a tour of that, and after I ran the trail for fun, I knew I had to come run it. I had it finished for that race in October.
Okay.
It was wonderful. Best thing I did. As a matter of fact, I was sitting up here in my trailer. It's starting to get dark. Sorry about that. But that is my trailer that I built, and it is super comfy. And I would show you inside better, but it's kind of dark in there now because mm-hmm. I don't have any lights on, and I didn't turn the battery on to turn the lights on. Sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, best thing I did. It was 1/3 the price of buying a trailer, even using everything I wanted, which was great. I could have bought the trailer, but there was some kind of satisfaction in building this, mm-hmm. naming it, and then hauling it to races, you know, and knowing I get to sleep in what I put together.
Right, right.
So that was fun. I like that. I appreciate that.
Any special amenities? I mean, I remember I saw a picture of it. You've got a couple of electric fans in there.
I have fans. I have a heater. I have the charging ports, so my watch and my mm-hmm. phone, everything, I can plug it in and charge those up in between if I'm running laps or when I go somewhere. It's got a great mattress. I didn't put a gallery in it, but I do have a storage container in the back that I have my generator. So if I don't have an electric hookup, I can run the generator. Okay. I have a friend, David Simmons. Do you know David Simmons?
No, I don't.
Out of Kansas City. He is Happy Hawk. He's actually part of the Trailhawks family.
Okay.
More than
okay.
He's a great guy. He's actually a massage therapist now.
He's what?
He's a massage therapist now up there. So, okay. But he's just the most awesome guy. He couldn't stand the thought. I didn't put a bathroom in it. That I would have to get up and go out and go potty somewhere in the woods at night when I was off somewhere. You know, he bought me a portable composter. Toilet.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a portable toilet to go with my camper.
Well, that's pretty good.
He's awesome. I didn't even know such a thing really existed, and it's perfect. So it's been fun. Friends have watched the build and kind of in their own way gotten involved. So all that's been really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, inside it's hard to see, but inside I wallpapered it with the GPS maps of all the different trails I've run.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. As you held the camera up, I saw, you know, that looked like maps on the wall. I was like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. That's fun because when I lay down to sleep, I can look at it and think about where I've been. And then the ceiling is still rather bare. So as I run races that I've not been before, I'm adding that to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's neat. Yeah,
it's fun.
And you have room for Miles inside as well.
Yeah. He sleeps inside with me. Sometimes, like, we did a really hot race and the fans blowing are cool enough on me, but it's just a little bit cooler outside. And I don't know if you saw it earlier, but I had this huge chair with kind of a swinging bottom. I mean, it's just huge. And so he'll clean up in the chair and sleep in the chair right outside the door. I'll just leave the door open and we go to bed.
Yeah. So with the door open, do you get mosquitoes come in then?
I have a screen to put over it.
Okay.
Yep. So it's nice. No mosquitoes. I have big windows I open up and turn the fans go. And yeah, it's great. In the winter, I have an electric blanket too that runs. And in the winter, a lot of times all I have to do is plug in my electric blanket and I still have to open a window because it gets too warm with me and Miles in there. Just that little bit. It's insulated well. I insulated it really well.
So you insulated it well. So constructed out of plywood then?
Plywood, yep. It's birch plywood on the outside, and I've got a copper tin across the roof in the front. And that's basically it. You know, the paint that I needed for the underbelly to keep the water from getting up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my windows. So, yeah, it's fun.
That's good.
It's much more comfortable than the back of my Jeep. And it's so nice when you're done with the race, especially the long races, especially if they've got showers there. All I do is take a shower and I'm right there. Crawl right in. I don't have to drive to a hotel. I don't have to have somebody else to take me somewhere. I just climb in and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. At the Outlaw, I had, I know they had like bunk houses there.
Yeah.
But I drive a Ford Expedition and, I just crashed. I can stretch out in that. And,
right.
But as I walked by your rig, I was like, yeah, that would be nice.
It's got a memory foam mattress. It's got, you know, yes, absolutely. It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. But the van's a lot better than the back of a Jeep Wrangler. There is no comfort in the back of a Jeep Wrangler. It's not happening. If you have young kids who are just learning how to drive, and who have a bunch of friends, and the best form of birth control is a Jeep Wrangler because there is no comfortable position in a Jeep Wrangler. Don't lift it because then they won't, you know, turn it over, but Jeep's the way to go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That brings up memories. I drove Volkswagens when I was in high school.
Yeah, there's no room in there.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, my kids are all grown, so you're not bursting the bubble here. It worked for me while they were growing up.
Yeah, my kids probably don't know about my history. that's good. So, what do you have ahead? I mean, I know that this COVID thing has kind of thrown everyone for a loop. Do you have any plans for, going forward?
Next month, on the 11th, the Outlaw Race Company, Dark and Dirty, 50K. It's on.
Oh, wow.
It's absolutely on.
Okay. Is it still at Robber's Cave again?
It's still at Robber's Cave. Mm-hmm. It is on. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be doing face masks at the start. You know, one of the pieces of swag that they're handing out is a buff to put. So when you're around people, they want the buff up. It's one of the concessions they made to be able to have the race.
Mm-hmm. So when you come into it, you have to wear the buff around your neck as you run then, and then pull it up as you go into the aid station?
Pull it up as you come into the aid station as at the start, you know. The aid stations, okay, last year there was this huge buffet. I mean, it was beautiful. Barbecue, tacos, we won't have that this year.
Yeah.
However, the fact that we can be together and run makes up for that. You know, I'll miss that buffet, but the fact that we can be together and run is huge in my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's next month on the 11th. I think it's sold out. I mean, people can check it out, but it might have a few open spots, but I think it's sold out. But that's the next one. And then I don't have anything. And that's a night race, by the way. It's a 3-mile loop, either up and down this huge hill that's a road or on the trail. You know, there's that 5-mile or that 5K. No, it's not quite 7. It's shortened up to just the 5K.
It's shortened it up. Okay. Is it basically that same the same course with all the big rocks?
Yeah, it goes through Rough Canyon. It goes through that and over the top of the cave. Okay. So you're getting all that. You do that for 10 loops? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 50K for 10 loops. Or you run up and down the road. So you get to choose your poison.
So you get a choice.
Yes, you get a choice. Once you start on one, that's the one you're supposed to stay with, though. Mm-hmm. So you can't alternate. Okay. So the deal is this huge, horrible hill all the way up and then a huge, horrible hill all the way down.
Right.
So by the time you get to the 10th deal, you can't, down is worse than the up at that point. Mm-hmm. Or the rocks through the night. So I'm doing the rocks.
Yeah.
Why not?
Those rocks were, I mean, like I said, Wyandotte-Waco, the race you run, that's kind of my home turf. And we've got a little bit of rocky trails, but I mean, those rocks are on steroids down there.
That is the roughest race I've ever run in my life. I run Flat Rock.
Yeah, I know. I've run Flat Rock too. And that's one that's like, I had enough of that after twice. So
yeah, it took me 3 times to finish Flat Rock. 3 times. And from now on, I'm volunteering that one. It's a great race. It's a beautiful course.
I love the course. Yeah, I love
it's
the course.
It's beautiful, but it eats you up.
And I only ran the fat ass. I ran an 8K and then I think 25K.
25, yeah. I did the 100K first and DNF'd.
Okay.
I came back for the 50K and DNF'd. I finished the 25K.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that.
The 25K, I hadn't been running that long. I mean, it was just like my second year, basically my second year, starting the second year of my running. And I went out there and just, I cramped up and hadn't cramped before. And I was just almost, it was bad. It was not pretty.
Yeah. I finished the 25K the year that we had the gentleman hit by lightning that didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
And that was last year. And that was really rough. The community, they set up a GoFundMe and the community, the trail runners from everywhere came together for his family, which was absolutely amazing to see. You can't ever tell me that trail runners aren't family because they stepped in and, those kids should have no problem with college. Absolutely no problem with college. I believe there's 3 kids. Mm-hmm. So, but I was glad to get Flat Rock under my belt. And then the exciting news that the Outlaw took over Flat Rock. So Flat Rock 101 is coming back along with the fall.
Really? Okay. Yes. I did not. I mean, I had heard that they had done away with 101.
Jeremy Flat Rock and Alicia came to an agreement with the timer guys and Carolyn, and they're taking over the Flat Rock. So, and they're able to bring the 101 back in the spring. So that's exciting.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it.
Exactly.
Because
I'm not running it. I know the
course is like, no, I'm not even going to do a 50K on that course because I know what it's like.
I already volunteered to work it. I told Jeremy and Alicia, I said, I'll work it. I'm working this in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but my tail end does not need to meet that ground there anymore.
Yeah. it's interesting comparing that to the Outlaw course.
Does it make sense?
No, the rocks at Outlaw are bigger.
I know, but I'm going back. I'm doing the 50K next year, or the 50 mile next year.
Yeah, but they don't seem to be. I mean, I'd take the rocks at the Outlaw course over Flat Rock because, you have to go in between them. I mean, it's like like a maze almost. And I know
I'm going to walk you because I'm going to turn on a light. So
okay, that sounds good. and we kept losing the course. I mean, it was the middle of the night, and you know, I was the pacer supposed to be watching, and it was very easy to wander off the course because of so many rocks.
Sorry. But, yeah, it is. It's like flat rock sucks you in and takes you down. You know the outlaw is dangerous, and so you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
The flat rock, you get to some flat parts, and you're like, this isn't so bad. And
well, yeah, I can run. Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can run, and you start running, and then all of a sudden you're back then in you're the done. Middle of.
Yeah, then you're done. Yeah. It's finished.
Twisting ankles and ripping up your shoes.
Exactly. But yeah. Oh my gosh, I've said I'm going to go work it so I can go back and walk the trail and look at everything I haven't had time to look at before. Mm-hmm. The bowl in Flat Rock is my nemesis. That is always so slick, but mm-hmm. that is out on the 50K and the 100K or the 101 course.
Okay.
You get to the bowl and it's where water runs through. And I've watched some people just run through that like mm-hmm. boats, and the rest of us are trying not to fall and die.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen people do that too. So.
It's crazy. But yeah. And then we've got like Dusty runs in sandals the whole course at the Outlaw at Robbers mm-hmm. Cave. And they're amazing. Those people are freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw him in sandals, and I was like, that was just starting my journey in sandals. And I was like, I want to be him someday. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. But, so you said the Outlaw,
and Flint Hills 50 got rescheduled. So we're doing that next year. It's gravel roads. It's okay. A small race. And this one is really my challenge because it's 50 miles, but it's 14 hours. I'm not a 14 hour 50 miler. So I'm pushing myself. I like to have a race that I'm not sure I can do and mm-hmm. get finished. Because it feels good when you do it.
Yeah.
So I've got the Robbers Cave. I've got the Flint Hills 50, Flower Moon, which is another Outlaw production that is in Oklahoma, got rescheduled. We're doing the 50 there. It will be in, I believe, May.
Okay.
So basically, half of what I paid for this year, I've already got entered in for next year and don't have to pay for it again.
Well, that's good.
Outlaw has done an amazing thing, and they're doing full deferrals. They're not asking you to pay to pay again. They're doing a complete full deferral, which is beautiful. Flint Hills 50 did the same thing. I think those are my three that I have that were signed up for the Outlaw, and then deferrals on the Flint Hills 50 and the Flower Moon.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay. So I guess one of the things I was going to ask you, what is it that keeps you going? I mean, what's the thing that?
See, that's really hard.
What's the thing that challenges you? I know. I got to give you at least one hard question.
The only thing I can figure is, it went from signing up for races I know I could get through,
mm-hmm.
To after I did my first 50, it was like, where's my limit? So mm-hmm. What keeps me going is, I guess, trying to find my limit. I'm not there yet that I know of. And it scares me that maybe 240 is somewhere down the road.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just watched a YouTube production of the Outlaw of the Moab 240. Moab. And it's like, you talk about rocks. I mean,
and that's that slick rock stuff they talk about that's really hard on you too. A lot of that mm-hmm. slick rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Reminds me kind of a flat rock, but on steroids.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like if you blended Outlaw and flat rock together.
Yeah. Know,
because they've got big rocks, but there's no space in between them.
Yeah.
It's like they're all big rocks stacked on top of each other.
I am not a mountain goat, but I don't know. I just want to keep, where's my limit?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my limit? And if I ever reach it, will I be happy if I reach it? I don't know. So just gonna keep pushing and see. That's kind of where my mind is.
Yeah, yeah. That's it's interesting because all of us have different reasons for running.
Yeah.
And you know that, but for most of us, I think there's some aspect of that of testing ourselves.
When a lot of people say, well, I run for my health, I run for my mental health, I run for my sanity, I run for, you know, all these reasons I think are all combined in there with me too. I mm-hmm. mean, I mean when I don't run. I don't know that it's helped my sanity because I keep doing crazy things.
Yeah.
I know it helped. Like I said, it helps my mental health because I can guarantee you after I've gone and run, even like with the DNF this weekend, I'm in a better place inside of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'm sure I have some issues. I'm sure there are things that a therapist would probably help. It's not where I'm going to go. So right. I'm going to go get my trail therapy. I encourage other people. If you think a therapist will help, go do it. I think therapists are great. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that I ever push myself there. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of other little things. Sorry, that's the air compressor. My son was doing something. There are a whole bunch of other little things added all up into it. But when you boil it down to the crux of it, I started running. I was amazed with how I felt physically and mentally. I was mm-hmm. amazed with what it did to my soul. And running races, putting the money down, gives me the excuse to take off and go somewhere and see something I might not see otherwise, mm-hmm. even if it's just running past it. It makes me hunt for places to go explore.
Right.
So part of me wants to be an explorer real bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a sense of adventure mixed in as well as well as a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's my wife thought I was going to die the first time I ran 100. And she didn't say that, but,
I know,
but it was like in the back of her mind. Well, and part of the thing is I ran the 50, the Hawk 50, in 20.
Oh, you jumped right in with the tough race, didn't you?
I did the Summer Psycho first, the 50K.
Oh, okay.
But I started
running. That's exceptional because that's got what I feel like is a short time limit.
Well, I was DFL, so I missed the cutoff.
I understand that.
I made the cutoff by 2 minutes. I mean, the cutoff to start the third loop with help from friends. I mean, trail running people are great.
Absolutely.
They were the ones that got me through that. But, a friend of mine ran the Hawk 50 in 2017, and I looked at that and I said, I think I could do that. That looks like fun. And it's like, and I haven't run for 30 years. I mean, I ran back in my late 20s, hadn't run for 30 years. I said, I think I can do that. So I started running trails, and it's like, then I met the trail community and everything. And so the Psycho Wico 50K was my first ultra marathon.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was just a stepping stone to get me to my 50 miles. And so I did the Hawk 50, and a friend, Mark Goodrich, and I were running together, and we came across the guy who died.
Oh, and, the Colonel.
The Colonel.
I know you're talking about. Yeah,
I can't remember his name either. But we were the first ones there. And, and he had passed us at the aid station, and we came upon him.
He's going strong too.
Yeah. And so I was the one who called 911, and they asked me, where are you? I says, I don't know. I'm standing in the middle of the woods. They said, are you on this road? And I said, well, there's a road up the hill, but I don't even know I don't know the name of the road. So they said, we've got your location. So they use GPS to find. But it was like, so my wife had that in the back of her mind.
I understand. And, yes.
And so I said, I'm going to run that 100 next year. And so she asked, she's, trying not to say, don't die.
Don't die.
But in the back of her mind, she's afraid that this could happen to you. I mean, you talked about the guy that got hit by lightning.
Yeah.
It can happen to anybody. I mean, it's like there are no guarantees.
100%.
It
could happen walking out your front door.
Yes, and it could happen. Yeah. It could happen anywhere. But yeah. So she asked me this question: why are you doing this? And
I don't know.
Yeah. And that was what I said. I says, I don't know. There's something inside of me. Something inside of me that says I just have to. And so I thought about it. It's like really kind of took my time. And finally, it was like about 5 minutes later, I came and I said, I need to find out if I have what it takes to do this distance. And it's just like, there was no guarantees I was going to make it, but I it's just like, I've prepared for this. And there was something inside. I have to see if I've got what it takes.
That's 100%. It's not to prove to anybody else anything at all. It's just, can I do this?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and now, I DNF'd that race. I was on pace until the rain. Well, actually I was on pace until the mud. The rain I got through about 2 hours later.
You had to get Skyline Shuffle area on in the mud, which is that hill, that kind of that bare hill. Did you hit the bare hill in the mud?
No, I didn't. Most of the trail half the trail was underwater.
That's right. They rerouted that year.
We didn't do that.
Yeah.
So when I went out for my fourth, the rain came during the third loop, in the middle of the night.
Right.
About 6 a.m. I went out, headed up for my fourth loop, and the conditions had deteriorated from the time when it was actually raining. And so it was like, you couldn't move. I mean, just any move you'd make, you'd go down. I felt good about, good about the DNF, but so now, looking at the hundreds is that the challenge is there. I've done it. I did the Pumpkin Holler. I finished.
That's successful. Yes.
Hurt like hell, but I finished it. But so now I'm looking at, okay, what's my challenge now? And the thing that I think the appeal of 100 miles is you can do everything right. You can have your nutrition. You can have, you can have all the plans made and have everything ready, and you still aren't guaranteed to finish. No. There's still that thing that can go wrong.
Yeah. Three times this year. Yeah. Same challenge.
Can happen even with 100K, right? Any ultra distance. I mean, I think for a lot of us, that's the appeal. And it still is that, proving to yourself, yes, I have what it takes to do this, but it's also a roll of a dice. It's not the guarantee. It's difficult enough.
Well, you watch out. You watch the super strong runners, these guys and women that are in the top of our sport, and they DNF races.
Right.
They don't finish, and they're in top shape. They have put all their training. I mean, their lives revolve around doing this, and they don't finish. It is everything's got to come together. You need the training. Mm-hmm. You need to be ready, but everything has still got to come together.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need the mindset. You need the mindset to keep going, and to evaluate. Is this that's happening right now? Can I work through it, is this, or do I need to stop?
Is this my head, or is this something I actually need to pay attention to?
Yeah. And I know there's, Catherine Ivey's on this call. I mean, she pushed through a race with stress fracture, and she finished, on a stress fracture. Yeah. Another guy in my running group did that. His mentality was, it was his first 100 miler. He said, it was, and I can't remember what point it was, but some point, it was after 50. I had a great quote. Someone says, it doesn't get interesting until you've passed 60 miles. And so he was in that zone after 60 miles. And he said to himself, I may never, ever do this again. I'm not going to stop now.
Yeah. And he put his mind all the way there.
Yeah. He put his mind all the way there. And so, I don't, you have to kind of balance that with what you have to do. I was fine with the DNF because I told my pacer, I have to work on Monday, if I injure myself and can't do my work, my wife is not going to be happy because I mean, we're self-employed partners. Right. So it's like, I'm working with her. She's like, she needs me to be there.
Yeah. There is good in living to run another day.
Yeah.
And there is good in throw it all on the line and here we go. Yeah. You've got to, it's got to be in your head. You've got to be happy with the place you're at.
Yeah.
And pushing through when your head's not, that's not the right place for you, is just as bad as giving up when it's your head making you, lay down and say, I'm done.
Yes.
So yeah, it's hard. And you never really exactly know which one it is.
Yeah, it's a judgment call each time. Yeah. But yeah.
And you have to be, that's one thing I found. The more I've run, the longer I've run, still working on that 100 mile, but the longer I've run is whatever judgment I make at my end of the race, whether it's all the way at the end and I finish or my end, I've got to be okay with that. As soon as I make that call, I can look back later and go, gee, I wish I'd run on, but at the time that was the right decision. Mm-hmm. I've learned that right then, I don't give myself the permission to look back later and go, well, that was stupid. You should have done this. Mm-hmm. Nope. But right then, that was the right call.
Yeah, because you'll have a different, your body is different in the morning. You're going to look back and
it's so easy to go, why did I stop? I mm-hmm. should have went on. Or there's been a couple times when I've looked back and gone, that was really stupid. I should have stopped.
Yeah.
But no, it was the right decision at that time.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to hold on to.
Yeah, that is. It is. Yeah. Well, I usually try to keep you long, didn't I?
Yeah,
no, it's one of those things. If you're feeling good, you go a couple extra miles. I used to tell my wife, how long I'm going. And I told her, lately it's been, I'm going to do this. And if it feels good, I may do an extra few miles. So, gotcha. So I've been doing that
this
year. Fun.
This is great. Yeah. Now we really need to run together.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And so, I'll keep following you and watching you on Facebook. The only run that I have on the books is the Hawk 100.
And I'll be in Illinois at the same day.
You'll be in Illinois the same day. Yeah.
Yep. Now, otherwise, I would be volunteering at the Hawk.
There is another race that I probably will sign up for. It's called the Double Ogdario.
Yeah, that's that hill on the pavement, right?
That's one hill.
I've seen that.
And it's pavement. It's pavement, uh-huh. And so. Last year, I was like, it's pavement. There's no way. No. I was like, no. But a lot of the people
had so much fun, didn't they?
A lot of people that are in my running group, they're signed up for it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hang out and encourage some of these people, And so, I hadn't volunteered. I just went there and was hanging out and was kind of watching what was going on. I was like, I could do this. It's only 6 hours. So
you should. FOMO is real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think this year, well, and then the other thing is, because I ran the Outlaw and was in the gravel, I said, this year I'm training on pavement as well.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm not, 'cause last year it was like, I avoided, I probably only had 15 miles, 20 miles on pavement total and for the whole year. And this year I'm like, I need to spend part of my time running on something hard. So
yeah, you just need to get that feel back in your body that, okay, this is what it's going to feel like. So we'll be okay with it.
Yeah. And running barefoot actually has made pavement easier on my body.
That's awesome.
Now I don't know that gravel would still probably hurt. I would avoid that, but my running form has changed enough so that I'm running lighter on my feet. So
that's awesome. That's quite a testament for the sandals.
Really, it's made a difference. And I wasn't sure. It was like an experiment, but
right.
I said, pavement. I'm making friends. Well, not quite friends with pavement, but I don't consider pavement my enemy anymore. So
right. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Just so anyway, all your friends are there. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are the two I have right now. So, let's keep in touch and I'll look forward to running with you sometime. And,
if you follow me on Facebook, you know where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I will do that. Yeah. Okay. And next year, I don't know. I don't have anything scheduled yet for next year, but I'm sure they'll fill up my calendar. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to as many races as we can get in and races going on, and be nice if things level out in the world, but we'll take what's thrown at us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hey, thanks for spending time with me, Cindy. I've really enjoyed getting to know you and looking forward to seeing you in person. Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you off in person too.
Okay. Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm going to close out here. So, Hey, thank you for watching this episode of Trail Talk. This is one I really enjoyed Cindy. I met Cindy through Facebook and enjoyed her posts, and she's even more fun to talk to in person than reading her posts. Her posts on Facebook is a blast, but talking to her in person is a really, really an honor. So, hey, what my Facebook page is about is, this is the Ultramarathon Mindset. I am a life coach specializing in helping ultramarathon runners deal with their mindset for peak performance and ultimate health. So if I can help you, message me. I'd be glad to have a conversation anytime, anything, any kind of goal that you want to set. I'd be glad to talk with you. Just send me a message. Reach out to me here on Facebook through this page, and I'll be glad to help you. I will see you again next week for another edition of Trail Talk. Thanks for watching.